no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a officer.
He's listening to you.
How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I have high hopes for the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is trash.
What's happening, folks? Welcome back to Beltway Golfer Podcast, episode 66. It's your host, Alex Dixon. For today's show, we're going to jump into the world of indoor simulator golf. And we are joined by James McDonald of Golf Zone America. Golf Zone is the industry leader in this space globally, as they are just absolutely enormous in Korea, where this craze really got started. And in the United States, their headquarters are right outside of Washington, D.C. They're right near Dulles Airport in Chantilly. So got an opportunity to head out to their headquarters, kind of get a demo of all their technology and their products there, and sat down with their director of sales to dive into the world of indoor golf and simulator golf and the kind of the history of it and where it's going from both kind of an expansion standpoint, but also the technology of it all. Here in the D.C. area, it's really only been big just in the last few years. You know, the first location of kind of standalone business for simulator golf was City Swing, and Terry Cash, who was on this podcast, I think maybe episode 6 or so. She was one of my early guests. And then 5-Iron came in not that long after. And in the last couple of years, more and more have started to pop out. You know, out in Leesburg, they got Tap-In Golf, Ashburn at Golf House, out in Anne Arundel County, X Golf. And you're starting to see these simulators pop up at green grass facilities more and more often. For a while there, they were just like, I'm thinking PB Dye up in Frederick would install a few simulators in the winter months. Now you're starting to see clubhouses add them as an amenity year round. And Arlington's now just this month opening up one, or is getting one called Par City. And you're starting to see it. We talk a little bit about this in the conversation, but you're starting to see simulators pop up as amenities in part of other businesses, whether they be apartment buildings as an amenity or a hotel, starting to see them. There's a new bar in Penn Quarter called Tom's Watch Bar that's got a couple sims in it. And James, in our conversation, even tells me about, which I was unaware of, the Milwaukee Brewers baseball team. In their stadium, they've got one or two sims. I think it's under the X Golf brand. So it's really kind of just exploded here in the last few years. And the irony is that Golf Zone's here, based here in the Washington, D.C. area, but I don't think they have any locations here yet, though it sounds from my conversations with the team there that is likely to change here soon. But it was fun to talk to James and the team and kind of learn about Golf Zone and just this entire space as it is truly just exploded in the last few years. And I don't even talk about, you know, residentially. I'm in a couple groups, or I'm at least in one group on Facebook where people are just posting all the time about their at-home golf simulator setups. And some of it gets real in the weeds on their kind of DIY setups, but it's kind of funny to see the pictures of people's home setups all over the country, really all over the world. But indoor golf, it's here to stay, and it is a huge business. And that is what we're talking about in today's episode. Beyond that, I don't have too much today. We are under 2 months away from our event, the Bankroll at Bretton Woods. Anybody listening would love to have you out at the event. We're about half sold out right now. It's open to anybody, any ages, male or female, any skill levels. We are doing a format of two person better ball, but it's going to be real casual. Going to give out some prizes for both net and gross winners. But this is more about just having fun, meeting people, playing a golf course that maybe you haven't played before. Maybe you wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to play, because Bretton Woods is a private course. It's in Montgomery County, just north of Potomac River, way out River Road. But it is a private country club, and I'm excited to have the event. We've got a couple of nice sponsors for the event, including Aslin Brewery. Aslin Beer Company is going to provide the adult beverages for the event, which I'm excited about. I've been a huge fan and consumer of Aslin for many years. They've got locations in Herndon, Alexandria, D.C., and up in Pittsburgh, P.A. Traditionally, they're known for their IPAs because they make some fantastic IPAs, hazy IPAs. But on May 7th in their Alexandria location, and I might head to this to do some scouting on some of their beers, they're having what they're calling a Frühling Fest, which is their lager fest. They're going to debut some, I think, and sample a wide variety of lagers that are perfect for the spring and summer months. And I think it'd be a great opportunity for me to kind of scout out and taste some beers to have at the bankroll, because lagers are great beers to have on the golf course, quite frankly. But so if you haven't checked them out, go to aslinbeer.com, A-S-L-I-N. They make some fantastic beer. But if you haven't signed up, again, we'd love to have you. Go to beltwaygolfer.com, click on outings. It's the bankroll at Bretton Woods. It's a 1 p.m. shotgun start on Wednesday, June 7th. That's it. Let's get the conversation. Here is James McDonald with Golf Zone America, episode 66 of the Beltway Golfer Podcast. Enjoy. All right, so we're here with Jimmy McDonald. Jimmy, what's your title here with Golf Zone?
Yeah, I'm the director of sales here for Golf Zone America.
So Golf Zone is a Korean-based organization. Company.
That's right.
Let's start with this. So Golf Zone's huge in Korea, and we're going to talk a lot about kind of the Korean screen golf phenomenon and the history of Golf Zone and screen golf. Uh-huh. But how long has Golf Zone have a presence here in the United States?
We came here to the U.S. in 2017.
Okay.
I joined the company in 2018. I think I was employee number 5, maybe employee number 6. Yeah. So we've come a long way since then. Founded in Korea in the year 2000. So they were pretty well established before coming here to the U.S. market. Interestingly enough, they got a phone call from a gentleman in Canada who said he wanted to put one in his house, and he saw Golf Zone on the internet. So he called corporate in Korea and said, I want one in my house. And there's no residential application at all for this in Korea. So they got that phone call and they were like, where the hell does this guy live? We got to send somebody over there to investigate.
Okay.
So sent the team over in around 2012, and they started doing some market research, and they thought, yeah, you know what? This might be a pretty good market.
Did they hook him up? Did they get him a simulator in his house?
Oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And so it took 5 years. So from then, 5 years later, before they saw the market big enough here in North America to kind of start an operation here.
It was a slow build. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because that's going to be more like this is my first big question, because I want to talk about kind of where this market is for indoor golf, screen golf here in the United States. And we're also going to talk about, you know, in Korea, like I said, but my biggest question is, why is the market in the United States and North America lags so far behind Korea that it's just kind of exploded now in the last couple of years? Any idea why?
There's a few different answers, I think, and they're all guesses at best. Korea is a very technology-driven culture. And that's not to say we're not, but they're creating a lot of the technology, and a lot of it is out of utility, right? So in Korea, to play a round of golf, you know, the major population center in South Korea is Seoul, which is about 5 times the size of all the 5 boroughs of Manhattan. And it's the densest area.
Is it really? I didn't know that. Five times the size of Manhattan.
It's
or all New York City.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's huge. It's, have you ever been?
No.
To Seoul? You should do it. It's pretty wild. It's gigantic, just very densely populated in that area, and everybody's a big golfer. It's a big part of the culture, but there's nowhere to do it.
I was going to say, are there golf courses in the city?
There's not. So you have to drive out to the suburbs. You got to drive like an hour and a half, and then everybody's trying to play golf on the weekends. So there's 6.5 hour rounds, and it costs like $300. It's just, it's not inclusive at all to the golfing culture that they have. So Golf Zone was founded as a way to say, hey, how do we bring golf to the inner city? We got to put it in a room in a high rise. Let's figure that out. And that's where this came from. In the United States, it's very different. You know, we're spread out here. We got lots of room. So there's lots of golf courses. The first golf simulators that came out were probably 25, 30 years ago here in the U.S., and they were terrible. Just like anything, the first version of the technology that comes out, it sucks. It's not very good at all.
Do you know what those looked like 25, 30 years ago? Or what the capabilities were?
Yeah, I mean, it was a rudimentary launch monitor system, And it was layered, right? So it was, is a projected ball flight layered on kind of a bad looking version of a golf course.
Yeah.
And a lot of the golf courses were fake because nobody went out and figured out licensing yet. So it's like a tee box, a green, and a bunch of crap in the middle.
Okay.
It just, it wasn't very good. But there's lots of golf courses here. So there's tons of room. And the first golf simulators were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, just in our golfing culture, our golfing community here, anytime you heard golf simulator, it was just, forget that. I don't need that. Now the technology's finally caught up to where we can emulate the real thing pretty good. And that's what we're trying to communicate and educate the consumer here is that, hey, we kind of figured this thing out now, so why don't you come try it again?
So there's a phrase that's been repeated just ad nauseum, the whole idea that there's more places to do indoor golf in Korea than Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
There's a indoor golf simulator on every corner. When in Korea, about how many years ago or what year do you know, like, did that really explode where it just became everywhere?
Yeah. So founded in the year 2000, right? That was when we first started. The company was founded. They were putting their first golf simulators out there in the marketplace. Went public in 2011. So right around 2008, 2009 is when the pop started happening.
And Golf Zone in Korea is one of, if not the market leader, right?
Oh, yeah, globally the market leader because of what they built in Korea.
Right.
Yeah. Over.
So they went public in 2011.
Yeah.
Like what? So obviously, you know, that penetrated the market pretty well in Korea. What did the U.S. market look like in 2011? I mean, there were no retail simulator golf simulators, were there?
There were a couple.
Were there?
There were a couple. There wasn't the five iron of the world. You know? Now you say five iron, there's at least one in every major city.
Yeah. Five iron only started 4 or 5 years ago, right?
Maybe a little earlier than that. It might have been 2015, 2016, around there. Speaking out of class there a little bit, I don't know exactly when they were founded, but,
go back and check. I had the founder of Five Iron on my show.
Once. Oh, is that right?
We'll have to go back and look at the archives.
I'm sure you have the date in there somewhere. He probably answered that question somewhere along the way.
Yeah. That's interesting. So in 2011, so that at that point were simulators in Korea? Like, could you say that phrase? Was there a retail simulator on every corner? Like there is today?
Maybe not on every corner, but they were getting there.
Okay.
They were getting there for sure. Now I remember I was in Korea in 2018 and I'm on a bus with a bunch of Golf Zone employees and we're just driving through downtown Seoul, but I don't speak or read any Korean at all. So I don't know what the hell I'm looking at.
Okay.
Bus is going down the street and I went up to somebody on the bus and I said, hey, where is all these Golf Zone locations? They're supposed to be like one everywhere, but I don't see Golf Zone signs anywhere. Well, a lot of the businesses at that time were privately owned. So they didn't necessarily use Golf Zone in the title. So we're driving down one of the main roads in downtown Seoul and the guy goes, oh yeah, there's one there. 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 Just pointing to all of them. In a quarter mile stretch, there were probably 7 or 8 places that you can go into.
Well, they were just licensing your product and your technology. And putting
they'd buy the product and they would put it in their stores and they'd charge a fee to people to come in to play 18 holes.
Which is still, it seems like that's been the main, like you mentioned, Five Iron. I mean, that's the main kind of business model here in the United States where startup businesses will open up a simulator business, whether they're having bar and almost like a half restaurant, half clubhouse, some not, but rarely is the actual simulator company the one putting their name on the masthead or their name outside in the front.
Sure.
It sounds like Golf Zone's started to do that. Here in the United States, I'm in New York. Is that right?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So we have right now, we have 2 facilities that are open. First one opened in 2019. It was November of 2019. How about that timing to start a business?
Yeah.
Cause November of 19 and then COVID hit in January and we were shut down in March.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. But the business was strong and we made it through COVID.
Okay.
And it's only gotten stronger. So that first location in Stamford, Connecticut is our flagship. We opened our second store in February of this year and we're opening our third in about, what is it? End of March now? So in about 3 weeks.
Do you have any, putting you on the spot with, you don't have to give me exact numbers, but, you know, today in the United States, compared to 5 years ago, it seems like now these retail simulator businesses are just opening up left and right.
Yeah.
I can't remember if this was global or in the United States, but it's basically said in 2022, the golf simulator market was something like $1.6 billion. But by 2030, they see it as $3.4 billion.
Yeah.
Meaning that this market is still very new and has huge room to grow.
I would agree with that.
Right now, you know, in early 2023, does Golf Zone, do you see a huge room for growth, certainly in urban centers? Like, I'm thinking about here in the United, just in the Washington DC area.
Yeah.
You know, there's seemingly one opening up every few months.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to be in all of them.
Yeah.
We're at the very beginning of the wave, right? That's the way we view it.
Yeah.
Is that this thing is just starting to get traction. I remember when I started here in 2018, my first customers were looking to open a business and they wanted to have multiple simulators and a bar. And I remember those phone calls. They were like, you might think I'm crazy, but this is what I want to do.
Right.
And I'm taking that phone call going, no, I don't think you're crazy. This is what I do every day. Let's do this.
Like, what's an example of an off the wall idea that somebody would pitch you?
In 2018, yeah. It was to open a bar with golf simulators. Yeah. That was the crazy idea in 2018. And they would call banks and the banks would say, no, I don't want any part of that. But now you call a bank and you tell them your concept and they'll go, oh yeah, we've seen that. We're into that. Show us your business plan and let's talk numbers.
Yeah.
So. Once the financial institutions started getting on board with this thing, it gave it an air of credibility to the venture in general. So whether you're using our technology or somebody else's, at least the business owner or the entrepreneur knows that this is legitimate and it's well-founded and it's well-rooted in this culture. And you can make it whatever you want to make it. You just got to go build it.
So I've been kind of a lot of this kind of conversation and what I've been asking about is a lot about commercial, but there's a lot of different areas that these simulators are going in, right? I mean, all these different market segments you've got, like, where do you put simulators? Where do simulators go? We've got kind of these commercial businesses that we're talking about, but residential, as you alluded to your guy in 2012 up in Canada.
Sure.
Residential is huge.
Yeah.
Does Golf Zone do a lot of that business here in the United States or not so much?
Yeah, we do. Now it's only about 30% of our business. It used to be the other way around. It was 70% of our business. And that was back in 2018, 2019 before commercial started to get realistic. Now it's flipped. So, and that's right where we want to be. We want to be doing more commercial. We want that to drive the business for us. That doesn't mean we're forgetting about residential. Both segments are growing.
Does Golf Zone and your competitors alike, do you really have to create kind of different products because for the commercial segment, you want the feature set to be absolutely as robust as possible, you know, to drive their business. But sometimes, you know, in a residential setup, cost might be paramount.
Are you
selling the same product to both or do they have to be different?
Yeah, no, it's the same product. It's the same product and there's benefits to doing that, right? And that's not just golf simulators. That could be a washer dryer too. I mean, if you get a commercial one for your house, it's going to freaking last you forever.
Sure.
You know, you're never going to have issues with it because you're not using it that much. Commercially, residentially, there's no difference in product for us. Now we have come out with a lower tiered, more entry level system just to hit a wider swath of the market. But we're in a price category right now where it is expensive, but generally when people reach out to us, they know kind of where we sit on the spectrum.
Yeah.
So we see us up in the top end of the pricing along with a couple of other competitors of ours in that category. Your bigger chunk of the market's going to be $10,000 or less is what they want to spend on a golf simulator. And we're north of that. So we're not trying to play in that sandbox so much.
Interesting. Can you talk a little bit about, for someone that's maybe tuning into this that, you know, you hit a few balls on a simulator, but doesn't know a lot about the technology behind it. A couple of the basic differentiators just in the marketplace. I'm thinking like radar versus camera technology.
Yeah.
Just kind of the simulator 101, if you will, on what you're looking at when you're thinking of a simulator.
Sure. There's really three different ways to do it. All we're doing here in the golf simulator category is you have a launch monitor that you run through some computer software so that you can see what the ball did and see where it went on a golf course, right? It's pairing those two things up. So the big differentiators are going to be software. So what course you're looking at here, we've got Pebble Beach pulled up right now, hole number 7, pretty iconic hole. Everybody's got that. But then more importantly is how do you display what the ball's doing? How do you measure what's going on to get that projected ball flight? And there's three ways. There's camera based, there is radar based, and then there is infrared.
Okay.
We are camera. We like to use camera. So camera based, you've seen a shift on the PGA Tour where you look up and down the range. It used to be a radar system.
Yeah.
Now everybody for the most part has migrated over to camera because it gives you precise measurements of what the golf ball did right at and after impact. And you only need about a foot of ball flight to know exactly what it did downrange, aside from all the external variables on the driving range, such as wind, speed and direction, and then changes in elevation.
Okay.
So camera's going to be really precise and accurate as far as what the ball did.
So the camera's looking at a foot before you hit the ball and a foot after it gets hit, right?
Yep. Yep.
So what about radar? What's radar looking at?
Radar is looking at the entire flight of a projectile. Doesn't matter if it's a golf ball, could be a bow and arrow, could be a kickball. It wants to see an object start its flight, fly, and then stop its flight. That's what radar is going to do.
Interesting.
So all of the...
Does that imply that if you're using radar on an indoor simulator where you're not seeing the entire flight of the ball, it's only going 10 feet into a screen, that it might not get the most accurate data?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So... Brand agnostic. It doesn't matter what simulator you're going to go with. If it is a dedicated indoor system that, you know, TrackMan, for example, has some great benefits in portability. So you can set it up and use it in a golf simulator environment like this, but then you can pick it up and take it to the range and do a club fitting.
Yeah.
That's awesome. The fact that you can do that. If it's dedicated though, and you're not going to move the camera equipment or the radar system, and this is a golf simulator, I would always recommend you look at cameras because it's going to give you the most accurate flight.
I don't know anything about infrared. Tell me about infrared. What does that do?
Yeah. So there's some companies out there that use infrared, particularly an infrared shield where there's, basically horseshoeing around the two sidewalls and the ceiling and the floor. So it creates a shield of infrared. And then there's another one right behind that. There's another shield. The golf ball has to penetrate those infrared shields to get accurate measurements of speed, spin, trajectory, all that good stuff there.
Got it.
The one downside of doing that is if you do not penetrate those infrared shields at the right trajectory and ball speed, you're not going to get an accurate reading. So there's always got to be another way to read the golf ball, whether you're using radar or camera-based technology.
The amount of data that these simulators can capture is pretty astounding. Has there been huge kind of advances just in that data in the last couple of years? It certainly seems like.
Absolutely.
I came out to this, so we're here at your headquarters here. I kind of cleaned over this, but in here in Chantilly, Virginia. And I got a demo with your head of marketing here, Liz. And, you know, there was more data than I think I look at ever.
Yeah. A little too much.
Well, that's one of the... Can there be too much? I mean, I'm sure for most hardcore golfers and certainly teachers, the answer is no.
Yeah. For teachers, no, you can't have too much data. For your average amateur. Yeah. There's definitely way too much data.
Give us like a quick, you know, if you're into super specifics, but just a range of some of the data that the golfer's getting from these simulators.
Oh yeah. You're getting, spin rates, launch angles. We know what your target is. Your target is well defined on here. So we know if you're left or right of that target at its start point and its end point. You're getting your face angles, your club path, face to path ratios, smash factor. That's a good one. People like that one. That's a good data point for your average amateur golfer.
Right.
I think face to path gets a little confusing to your average amateur golfer.
You know, some of it certainly needs explanation.
Totally.
When you pop it. But did I see you guys are also doing, I'm going to phrase this wrong, but like almost like your weight shift on the ground, or like, are you measuring that as well now?
We're not on this unit here. We have that capability in Korea. We haven't brought it here to US yet. That'll probably be coming here in the next 18 months or so. But yeah, having a force plate on the ground. So you're measuring your weight transfer. It's possible. And we can set up third parties with our system to do it, but there's companies out there who are doing a phenomenal job of that, that you can integrate.
Is there, and like right now in 2023, it sounds like that's one piece. Is there other data that you wish you'd had the technology to be able to get, or is, you know, is there a next frontier of golf data, or do we have it all?
As far as integrating into golf simulators, yeah, I think there is. Right now, all the data that you're getting on a golf simulator, whether it's ours or anybody else's, is going to be club data and ball data, and it kind of stops there. Okay. But there's a new wave of instruction out now where they're measuring body data, which is awesome. I mean, that's completely apart from what the club and the ball are doing. It's just, what's your body doing to deliver the club to the ball?
Like, how are your hips rotating, you know, in conjunction with the club and all kinds of stuff?
Right. So I think the next data integration wave to golf simulation is, it's going to be, okay, here's your club and ball data, which is great. And we're able to show you what the ball's doing and what your club did. But what's next is, well, how did it get there?
Yeah.
What did your body do to get it there?
Now you say that, there's a spot here in Rockville, Maryland that I've gone to a couple times. It's more for golf fitness and stretching and exercise and performance. It's called Peak Golf Fitness. But in the first analysis, he had me strapped up into like all these sensors.
Yeah.
Like all over my body to kind of get what you were doing.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
And he was able to see everything, but it took him, you know, some time to even strap all the stuff on me. It's not quite ready for someone to just stand into a simulator and get all that data.
That is totally akin to the first golf simulator in North America in 1990 or whatever the date was. Very rudimentary.
The idea is eventually cameras or something will be able to capture all that.
Totally. Totally. I mean, it took us a while to get there with this technology, right? The first launch monitor devices were just high-speed cameras, and you'd set up the high-speed camera, and the golfer would hit the shot, and then the instructor would take those high-speed cameras and get a protractor and actually trace on a piece of printed-out paper to measure launch angles and spin rates. Wow. Now we do all that crap in a computer, so it's only a matter of time until that body stuff gets integrated fully into it.
There's a couple pieces about Golf Zone. I came across Golf Zone initially at the PGA show. And the thing that really kind of stands out as a bit of a wow factor is twofold, but it's both on your hitting mat. It's one, you guys are able to replicate, the angle of the ground you're standing on, your hitting angle.
Yeah.
And do I have this right that you guys have actually mapped out a lot of these courses? So if you're playing Augusta and a fairway in 18, for example, you know, you're going to have that uphill lie going up to the green. So everywhere you are on these courses, your lie angle will be accurate.
Yeah. We map every single one of our courses. We actually go get the topography. So it's programmed. If the ball is 4 degrees below your feet here, it would be 4 degrees below your feet on that golf.
Is anybody else doing that?
No, I shouldn't say that. Yes, they are. Not to this level.
The second is really cool. It's wild when you're standing on it. All of a sudden, you just feel the whole thing move underneath your feet. But the other piece is this kind of you guys have recreated multiple levels of rough and bunker kind of simulation within the hitting mat.
Yeah,
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
How accurate? Especially I'm looking at especially the bunkers. You've got one area. I think in white for the greenside bunker and another for the fairway bunker.
Right.
How accurate is that kind of feeling of hitting out of a ball?
It certainly feels more like hitting out of a bunker than hitting off of the fairway mat. And the way if you hit it into a bunker or you hit it into the rough, the way it typically works on a golf simulator is they'll give you a percentage penalty off of your next shot. So, hey, you hit it in the rough, just so you know, this next shot is going to go 10% less of what it should. Or you're in a bunker, so this ball is going to go 30% less of what it should. And they'll show you that on the screen to let you know they're going to make that calculation deduction on your golf shot. But when you put the ball on the appropriate surface on our system, those rough surfaces and bunker surfaces are actually what's going to slow down the club head through the impact zone and impact the flight of that golf ball. So we don't do any percentage deductions if you put the ball into the appropriate surface.
Is one of the, has that piece of it been a part of your product, especially in Korea for quite some time?
Yeah, since probably right around 2012.
Oh, wow. That long? Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
It was that, because one of the big pieces, especially in Korea, is, and I'm forgetting his title. I think he's with Tommy.
He's our CEO here at Golf Zone America. Yep. Tommy Lin.
He was telling me about the professional golf leagues
that
Golf Zone hosts in Korea.
Yeah.
And so to host a professional golf league, you got to make this thing as, close to the real thing as humanly possible. Tell me a little bit about those. What are these golf leagues in Korea?
Yeah. It's called the G Tour.
Okay.
Golf Zone Tour, and it is for KPGA and KLPGA, Korean PGA and Korean LPGA Tour players. So these are professional golfers that are competing on tour, and maybe they fail to qualify for the green grass event that week.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a tournament series on Golf Zone equipment, which is broadcast on the Korean Golf Channel. It's the second most watched network in all of Korea, particularly when Golf Zone is on TV.
That piece is wild to me.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's on everywhere. I mean, you go into a cafe, you see Golf Zone on the TV. My mind was blown when I was over there. It's just everywhere you go, Golf Zone is on TV, because people are competing on it. And then you've got shows like, I don't know if you're a baseball fan, but you got like MLB Tonight that they do it in kind of like a, it looks like a baseball diamond type scenario. Well, all these shows in Korea are at a Golf Zone simulator. And I mean, it's everywhere you look. So to get tour players on the equipment and competing for actual prize money, it's not a far stretch over there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty competitive tournament. They're competing for real money.
Oh yeah, they played for, I think, $3.6 million in prize money last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Here in the United States, Tiger Woods has made a big splash with his announcement of forgetting what the acronym stands for, but the TGL.
Yeah.
Is that kind of a similar model? Do you know much about that? Like, as far as like, is his backers and investors looking at that, the Golf Zone Korea, and saying, this can work here?
I don't know what they're looking at. And yeah. They've been pretty scant on the details of what this thing is actually going to be. I think it's January of 24 that it's going to debut, right? So there's probably a lot of holes to be filled in between now and then, but it will include some form of golf simulation. Obviously having Tiger behind it is going to be a huge feather in the cap of whatever they roll out.
Sure.
I don't know enough about it. I think it's probably going to be pretty different from what we've done in Korea, but it might pull from some of what we've built. Yeah.
Is Golf Zone, is that part of your future plans to investigate if this might fly in the United States?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're already doing it in a small scale. We're, I think 6 times this year, we're going to do what we call the GNAT, the Golf Zone North America tournament.
Okay.
Where every golf simulator we have placed in North America is turned onto it. All you have to do is click a button and you can go compete for real prize money. Apart from
but that's something anyone can compete in.
That's something anyone can do.
Yeah.
You can do it in your home simulator. You don't have to be a professional golfer.
Yeah.
On the other side, how do we engage with the professional golfers? So one of our partners is the Metropolitan PGA up in New York. We're partnered with a few associations, but, just because of where our commercially owned facilities are, the 3 that we have right now in Metro New York, perfect partnership with the Met PGA. And next week we're doing the first professional tournament in North America where, all of the Met PGA members who are all PGA members, they can come in and compete. It's a regular tournament on their tournament calendar.
I love it.
Yeah.
Smaller
scale, but we'll get there.
But do you think there's going to be a television audience for this?
Not that one.
Maybe not that one, but in the future, for the United States television market.
I think so. I mean, you look at some of what's on the Golf Channel, not all of it is golf. You know, this is actually golf. So
yeah.
I would like to think they'd be open to it at some point.
Yeah.
Just like the banks in realizing this commercial opportunity is viable, I think we just have to convince them there's an audience.
Yeah. It's growing so fast and it seems new to someone like myself who's like kind of it, you know, I'm in tune to it, but maybe not the most in tune to it. And I find it fascinating how kind of just the question of how big this can get. But the Korean model obviously shows that it can get real big.
They did it.
Going back to kind of the beginning, how you talked about how Seoul was kind of the being such a massive metropolis that this was kind of the proving ground and where it fit the most need. Is it happening in Korea where you're seeing these, you know, in more rural areas, or is it still only kind of an urban center kind of thing?
Not only, but it's primarily, just because of where the population is centered. It's Seoul. You know, you get outside of Seoul, you're kind of in the sticks.
Yeah.
And we see that here in the United States too. You know, you get your urban model, which is in city center of Minneapolis and Chicago and New York, and they're there, but the rents are higher. So then a lot of the commercial businesses get driven to the suburbs, mm-hmm. you know, first wave suburbs right outside the bigger cities. And then rurally, it's sparse.
Yeah. You know,
there's not a ton out there. The businesses are there, but you're not going to see five or six in a single city.
Yeah. You mentioned that your three retail locations are in New York, but we're here right next to Dulles Airport and outside of Washington, D.C. Why is the Gulf Zone headquarters here? Like, why did you guys choose the D.C. market?
There's kind of a fun answer to that.
Okay.
We did some studies with several universities. And this is way back 2016, 2017, before we were really set up here. Where do we want to set this up? So we put some universities on it. I think Duke was on the case. Maybe Brown was on it. So we got some good business units going out there to figure out where we should go. And they all said, you have to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's where Gulf Zone America should set up their headquarters. Because in Minneapolis,
because
Minnesota,
there's snow on the ground all the time.
They have the shortest golf season in the country of like 5 months.
Okay.
But in Minnesota, they also have the highest percentage of golfers per capita in the United States. So you've got this fervent population that wants to play golf, but a really limited window to do it. So they told us that's where your headquarters should go. But realistically, if you've got a small organization that's very mobile, and we go out and we install all of these, we have a tech team that goes out and dispatch them all over the country. If you're doing that from Minneapolis, Minnesota in January, the chances of your flight getting canceled are really high. So that's why we're in Virginia.
Interesting.
5 minutes from the airport where very few flights get canceled.
Yeah. Interesting. Do you see, because you're right in the, today, being right here, I don't think there's any retail Gulf Zone locations in the DC market. You mentioned you have three in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, talk to me a little bit, just whether it's in DC area or not, kind of the future of how you see these Gulf Zones expanding since you're just in one market now.
Oh yeah. Our corporate owned stores.
Yeah.
So it's starting in New York.
Yeah.
And we've got our three there. We're opening three more later this year, all New York Metro. Mm-hmm. And then we'll slowly start to expand from there. And this DC Metro is on the short list. As well as going up north into the Boston market. Those are probably going to be the next wave. Philadelphia, another good one. But it's all going to start at that New York Metro and expand from there. So it's not like we're going to make a quick, rapid jump to go to Toledo or Sacramento. You know, it's going to start here and grow out.
How, and some of this is a little bit repetitive, but I mean, so I'm thinking of the DC market is what I know, obviously. But like right now, like really inside the Beltway, I think there's only two retail similar indoor golf places in the city itself. I think there's a third, like a private one that's coming, called In Town. They're down in Atlanta.
Okay.
Inside the Beltway, I know one's about to open in Arlington. I think that might be it. You get a little bit further out, like out here, there's a couple more.
Yeah.
Like where I'm going with this is like, you know, what is full market penetration for a city like DC or like a market like DC, not necessarily for Gulf Zone, but like for this market,
for the category.
Yeah.
That's a tough question to answer, man.
Like
I don't
know. Well, let me ask this. When they talk about there's more simulators in Starbucks in Seoul or just in Korea, like in a city the size of DC there, how many are there? Are there 10? Are there 50?
No. Yeah. There's significantly more than 10. You're probably looking somewhere 400.
Really? In a city the size of DC?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's over 6,000 in Korea. The lion's share of those are in Seoul. Well, It's a lot.
I'm trying to think if I should be writing a business plan right now or not.
I mean, you're in the right place. You got the right audience.
Yeah. Interesting. And you guys are going, you know, going back to the, you know, we talked about corporate, we talked about residential, we talked about commercial. But Liz was even telling me last time I visited your HQ here that you guys are going into places like apartment buildings.
Sure.
And I think I've seen there's a hotel here nearby.
Yeah.
Where, you know, businesses are using this as attractions or amenities.
Yeah.
You're starting to see a lot of that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, apartment buildings, condos, any kind of hospitality is great amenity and a great way to, you know, if you're looking at a hotel, right? A lot of hotels have spare rooms. They're always saying, what are we going to do with this room?
Well, yeah.
Put a golf simulator in there and just run some F&B over there.
Sure.
That's just revenue you weren't getting before, but now you just turned on your whole 500 room hotel to that.
Yeah.
Then you've also got sports complexes. That's starting to come online right now where, Family Rate Fields in, Wisconsin. That's where the Brewers play.
Okay.
They just put in a retail golf simulator venue in the stadium.
So people can hit golf balls while a baseball game's going on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And you're going to see that more and more.
Are the Brewers that bad?
I mean, I thought they were pretty good, man.
These things are going everywhere. So what, I mean, I know the future is hard to predict.
Yeah.
But how does Golf Zone see the future in the United States? I mean, obviously you guys are making a big bet on the market here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's coming down the pike for this category?
It's wide open.
Yeah.
It's just wide open. And like I said earlier, it's the beginning of the wave right now. If you look at what was built in Korea, yes, they have a feverish golfing population. They need it. It's a part of the culture of the country to play golf. Here in the United States, I would argue this is one of the golf capitals of the world. Much larger population, much larger geography. So there's just a lot of runway here. And if I made any predictions based on what we see now in the market, it's going to change 5 years from now because I just don't know where this is going to turn. All I can do is try to serve what's in front of us and develop the business as best I can right now.
Sure.
Knowing that the consumer is going to change, the technology is going to change, and let's just be ready for that. It's technology. It's evolving every minute.
What about the competitive landscape in this market? This is a crowded space, isn't it?
Getting even more so every hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there new companies popping up left and right?
You see them at the PGA show.
Yeah.
You know,
I noticed that this year. I mean, the PGA show simulators took over about, you know, a third of the space this year.
It's all tech.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be you'd walk around and there were 400 different belt companies, you know, now it's technology and golf simulation. Technology gets cheaper. That's just the way it goes, right? Mm-hmm. So, people are trying to do the more entry level golf simulator and that's a very crowded.
And are you starting to see a lot of, like kind of open source stuff where people, like some of these businesses can, because Golf Zone is all in one. I mean, you create the software, you map the courses, it's your hardware, it's your everything, it's your mats. But I'm starting to see that some of these companies are kind of, you know, piecemealing together some open source software, some white labeling of the program, you know, basic hitting mat, a basic screen.
Yeah. That was the U.S. market up until fairly recent.
Yeah.
Was you'd buy a launch monitor and then you'd go find someone to sell you a screen, go to Best Buy and get a projector. And hey, look, I got a DIY golf simulator.
Sure.
So there's still quite a bit of that going on. I don't see that changing anytime soon. What's different now is that there are more opportunities to get the premium turnkey all-in-one golf simulator where we'll give you everything from golf balls to projector.
What about the graphics themselves? I mean, your graphics are state of the art. There's no doubt.
Uh-huh.
These are getting better every year. I mean, how long before we're looking at like you hit a ball and the only thing that's not real is the ball. You know, you're looking at like actual video footage. Are we going to hit that point at some point?
Yeah.
That's what I want.
It's coming, bro. Get ready.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask Golf Zone. My understanding, Golf Zone is not just in the indoor golf market in Korea. You guys actually own some golf courses, some green grass golf courses.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like 18 or 19 golf courses?
I think it's 18. Yeah, it's quite a few though.
For lack of a better question, why? You guys are in the indoor golf market. Why do you own 19 golf courses?
We started in the indoor golf market.
Okay.
Now we are the golf market. Okay. So Golf Zone is a lifestyle brand in Korea.
Okay.
It started as golf simulators, but now it's part of a larger holdings company that does everything. So, everything in the game of golf. It's golf simulators. It's the owning and operating of green grass golf facilities so we can get everybody. There's retail. Golf Zone owns the largest golf retailers, brick and mortar retailers in all of Korea. So when you think PGA Tour Superstore.
Is that part of the larger business model? It's the kind of, you're bringing new golfers into the game. Mm-hmm. Maybe this easier point of access through indoor golf.
100%.
And then having a relationship with that customer as they graduate into outdoor golf.
Yeah.
You can kind of market to them to get them out to your green grass facility.
You touch every part of their journey. Every part of their journey and life cycle as a golfer in Korea. Two fun facts. First, here in the U.S., there's part of the slow adaptation at golf courses for golf simulation is the fear that we are competitors to the green grass product.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want my customers playing on a golf simulator because then they're not going to come play my golf course. And interestingly, 86% of all golfers who play for their first time on a golf simulator graduate to green grass golf. So it's complementary. We're bringing more people into the game and then getting them on the golf course.
Makes all the sense in the world. I don't know how anybody wouldn't see, especially if you're a new golfer and this is your entry point. It's the same thing really with like the Top Golf.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's tons of data out there about, people got to Top Golf, slap the ball around. They have fun. Okay. Now I want to, what's the real thing like?
Right. Yeah. Right. And it's low impact here. People are worried. There's the fear that I'm going to go on a golf course and make a fool out of myself because I don't know what I'm doing, right? I don't want to hit the ball 10 feet. Well, here you hit, it always goes 10 feet and then stops. Whether it hits the screen or it rolls up to the screen, it doesn't matter.
So do you think indoor golf and kind of the growth of it in the United States has kind of helped this golf boom that we're seeing during and now post COVID in golf rounds played in general?
I absolutely do. And that's in part due to the out of sight, out of mind complex that a lot of people have, especially up north where I live in New York. We have a 7-month season.
Yeah.
So I can go play golf outside for 6 or 7 months. And then for 5 months, I'm not doing anything. I'm not playing any golf. I'm not hitting any balls. There's nothing to do. I'm now in a different routine. When golf season comes around again, it's really hard for me to get back into it.
Yeah.
But I can keep it going now all year long on the simulator, you know? So now you've got a customer who's engaged 12 months of the year.
Sure. Tell me about, Tommy told me a little bit about your, Golf Zone Social in New York that has like 19, 20, 22 simulators in it.
22.
That's,
yeah.
I mean, that's huge. Huge. I have not been in a facility that big. Is this inside of a mall or it's standalone?
It is. Yeah. It's inside of the Palisade Center in West Nyack, New York.
Okay.
I wish I had the address. I would have given it a full plug.
That's all right. 22 simulators in one.
Yeah.
So that's a massive space.
Yeah. It's 26,000 square feet, I think, with a full kitchen, two bars.
Do you know what the space was before Golf Zone?
Yeah. It was a New York sports club.
Okay.
With a climbing wall and a locker room, and it just ripped it out, opened it up, throwing 22 simulators. Let's go.
I love it. What else is in there? I mean, yeah, I'm sure you're serving drinks and food and.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the food is awesome.
In a space really that good. Big, is there anything besides, like, is there a pool table?
No pool table, but there are, full size, I think it's 22-foot shuffleboard tables. There's a couple of those. There's cornhole. There's ping pong. So there's stuff to stay busy. And it's funny. Yeah. I was in there last week and there was a large group of people taking up two simulator bays and it was parents and their kids, right? Yeah. So parents and their, call it 10 to 15-year-old kids. And some of them are hitting balls. Some of them are throwing pucks on the shuffleboard table. Yeah. Some of them are playing cornhole. So something for everybody.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did see, I have to recommend right after I left here. I first came, I met the team here about a month ago before recording it and literally got home. And I don't know if I was joking with Liz earlier, if it was the algorithm or what, listening on my phone or my computer, But I get home and the Eric Anders Lang video, Adventures in Golf,
yeah, man,
pops up in my feed that apparently he had just put out a month or two prior that I hadn't seen, where he goes to Korea, yeah, and visits Golf Zone amongst others. But one of the things in his video, and I recommend everybody to check it out. It's really really well done. But I can't remember if it was Golf Zone or not, but he's in an indoor where they've got like real bunkers.
Yeah.
In an indoor golf facility with sand flying everywhere and everything.
Yeah. That wasn't us.
That wasn't you. Okay.
No.
Is that coming? Is that coming here?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. I mean, how many vacuum cleaners you want to go through?
That's kind of what I was wondering. He showed something in that video where he's like vacuuming his shoes after he got done.
Yeah. That's a different world, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty impressive. But yeah, 22 simulators in your spot in New York. That's interesting because that you said it was a New York sports club because these gym memberships seem to be a dying breed. You know, you see the CrossFits of the world in these big box warehouse kind of style workout, yeah, kind of being the new craze, or it's been a craze for a while now. But the traditional sports clubs seem to be emptying it out, and this is a great solution.
Retail is in an interesting place right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Retail in general. We're in a mall. You know, this one store in Nyack is in a mall. If you're not entertainment, some kind of engaging storefront to go into,
mm-hmm,
I wish you luck. I mean, that's tough.
I'm just curious. So your model, because there are a lot of other different kind of retail business models. Are you selling memberships to that, or is that something someone could just pop in and pay by the hour?
Public. Yep. Open to the public. Pay by the hour. So we own a couple of range facilities too. Golf Zone Range by Ledbetter in New Jersey. And those are large too. Those are 20 plus simulators in there, but it's all training. So it's one person per bay is how that.
When you refer to it as range, what's the difference?
So here on our Two Vision, it's all entertainment, right? You get six people on here betting, throwing money around, having drinks, having a good time.
Okay.
On our driving range simulators, yeah, you get some course action as well, but it's designed to be used one person at a time. So you're not going to play with a bunch of people. You go in there, you have your focus practice session. You're not really going to be downing pitchers. You might have a Gatorade or something. So slightly different model.
You mentioned you have a partnership with the Ledbetter Academies.
Yeah. So to circle back real quick, it was memberships. We do memberships there. We do memberships at the driving range facility, but not entertainment. That's just anybody come one, come all.
Yeah.
And Ledbetter, yeah. So we acquired the Ledbetter brand, Golf Zone did.
Oh, wow.
In 2019.
That seems like a big purchase.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a big name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're instructional academies, you know, teaching, coaching, training, training your teachers to train the students.
Wow. Very cool. Do they have, how many academies do they have? Are they all over?
So our Golf Zone Range by Ledbetter facilities, there's two.
Okay.
How many academies all told? So that's a global brand.
Yeah.
I don't know what their total number is.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Well, I hope to see some Golf Zone socials, maybe in the DC market down the road.
Yeah.
Or at least in, your product's fantastic.
Thank you.
Got the full demo both down in Orlando at the show, but also here at your headquarters here in Chantilly. And again, the graphics are great, but a lot of what happens at your feet is so unique to the market. If it's not a Golf Zone social, I hope to see it in some type of retail startup, and I'll get that business plan working pretty quick.
Come on up to Golf Zone social, man. I live 10 minutes from there. Open invitation.
I will. I'll hit you up when I go.
Cool, man.
Excellent. Thank
you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I'm a regular dude living in DC, and I want to know about DC centric golf stuff. If you can tell me something that I don't already know, then that is great for me. I don't want the regular stuff. I want exciting stuff. I want different stuff. I want stuff I can't hear elsewhere. But I want it to be about DC golf.